Hello, and welcome to Teen Talk Online.
Welcome to Teen Talk, brought to you by Contact Community Services. This program is dedicated to discussing your issues and promoting teen voices for good choices. We want to hear what you have to say, so call our listener comment line at 1-800-245-TEEN. That's 1-800-245-8336. Listen to us online. You can find a link to our Facebook page and on our website, teentalkradio.org.
Hello, and welcome to Teen Talk. I'm Susie, and today I'm joined by teen hosts Brianna, Sydney, and Dylan. Our show topic today is strange and interesting hobbies. And coming up, we'll discuss things we do and whether or not we think they're strange, odd collections, and strange traditions. Let's start off with things that we do. Sydney, do you have anything that you want to talk about?
I'm playing roller derby now for coming up on 7 years.
Wow.
And as far as collections go, I do collect a lot of really weird stuff. I collect, like, nerdy stuff that people who play, who watch Game of Thrones would collect. Mm-hmm. Movie memorabilia. And now just starting this horrible habit of collecting amiibos. My amiibos are, like, now made by Nintendo to fit the Wii U system. Mm-hmm. And they are, like, selling like hotcakes. They're getting rarer and rarer, and I'm not helping.
Brianna, do you have any strange or interesting things?
I play ukulele a lot. I don't know if that's really strange, but I really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I usually, if I'm ever angry, I just take it out and I'm like...
It's a sad instrument. It's so fun.
I know.
I imagine like peaceful Hawaiian beaches.
It's so fun because I create songs when I'm upset about something. So mm-hmm. like very mean songs. Angry songs.
With a sweet ukulele.
It makes them sound so much better.
You remind me of like Unfabulous back in those days.
When Unfabulous.
Anytime she was moody, she'd just like go to her room and rock out on her guitar. That was such a bad show.
It was so good though.
Lily Allen. That's yeah. the kind of thing Lily I'm going Allen. For. Like Kate Nash. I also am crazy about tea. I drink tea morning and night. I have like 20 boxes of tea in one of my cupboards at home.
That's what I got. I have like this close group of friends, and there's like 6 of us who are all like, we're not gonna all get each other gifts. Let's all, you know, like switch gifts. My friend literally got me a mug, which I loved, and tea. And it's just, I have all this tea from Christmas, and I don't, like, from her and from my family, and I just don't know how I'm going to drink it all, so I guess I have a collection starting.
I got so much tea for Christmas. I was like,
yes!
Not getting sick!
Let's all go drink tea sometime.
Yeah.
Tea is one of my favorite drinks, and I have, like, a bit of a tea collection, too. Yeah. But, like, there are these little figurines that come in some of the tea, like, things.
Red Rose, right?
Yeah, and I have, like, I have a little collection of them. I have, like, an owl. What are you saying?
I've never seen those.
Oh, yeah. They're like,
these tiny little porcelain things. They're really cute.
And they're all, like, little animals and, like, weird. Like, sometimes there's, like, a sailboat and, like, a lighthouse.
Mm-hmm. Actually,
I need to find this.
I have, like, 50 of those. I forgot about them. I have, like, all kinds of them.
There's chickens. There's...
like, cows.
Chickens, you're lions. Starting a collection right now.
And then you get tea and then that.
I have a seal. I have a lot of cool ones. I have a songbird.
A seal? That's my favorite one.
Do you have any other hobbies or collections?
I'm a gamer. I collect games. I collect buttons. I have a lot of buttons on my backpack. If you look at my backpack, you'll see.
Oh, like pin buttons. Yeah. I thought you meant like just buttons that like you sew on. Like, this one's the blue one of the day.
like actual pins. And they're antique. Like, they're really, really old. People are like, where do you get those? Because you can't just find aged buttons anywhere. And they've just like been in my basement.
That's really cool, though.
You know, I get those too, and like my knee jerk reaction is to just put them on this green hat that I have, and it's filled with buttons, and so it's the tackiest looking tchotchkes kind of hat ever.
Okay, so do we want to talk about like not just our own odd collections, but like other people's or like ones that you've heard of or friends of yours or something?
Oh wait, I totally forgot. I'm crazy because you know like those little movie ticket stubs that you get.
Yeah,
I have like 200 of those.
Oh my
god. Because I'm like, I am a movie buff, so I'm trying to, like, I'm even trying to major in film.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I save all of those. Like, I think the most recent one I got was Big Eyes, and it had Amy Adams, and I believe she just won the Golden Globe for that.
Yeah, she did.
Yes. Wow.
Do you guys have any collections that we haven't talked besides tea?
rocks. I have a lot of different rocks. I mean, I'm so basic. Coins. I have a lot of coins from different parts of the world.
I have coin jars.
I have, like, an old coin from Germany, and it's from, like, 1944.
That's really cool.
And it has, like, the Nazi insignia on it. It's pretty cool. Oh. Yeah. So it's like, a piece of history, though. So
yeah, that's that really interesting, actually.
And I have, like, a bunch of other ones, and yeah.
My dad has, a collection of books that were, like, written back during the Civil War times.
That's so cool.
Wow.
That's... I just remember that.
So cool.
One time he woke me up one morning to show me, and he's like, when I pass away, I'm gonna give these books to you, and then you can give them to your kids.
Just randomly?
That's so awesome. I would hate speaking to be woken up.
Speaking of, collection of books, I went to... with my mom to her friend's house, and I met, like, her father. So he was, like, really... He's a very old man, because he was probably, like, in his late 80s. And I went into their house, and he was showing us around, and my mom said, like, he's a professor. I just want you to know that. Like, and he has tons and tons of books. And we walked into, like, their small house, and, like, we walked down these stairs, and all of a sudden, it was just a library. A full library in his house. And then he had a... like a small house out back, like a small little like guest room.
How quiet place. Is it?
Very quiet. It was really nice. And then inside there, he had all of these mystery books from the 40s.
I'd be scared to talk. I'd be
like, yeah. but he had all these mystery books from the 40s, and I was like talking to him about them, and he was like, yeah, I mean, I think there's not many of these in print anymore. He's like, these were something that we used to all read, like, to get our minds off the war. And then his daughter was telling us later that he is, like, one of the largest mystery collections, like, in the nation. Like,
what?
Like, not even, like, ooh, universities, like, in the nation. It was, like, crazy to think about.
But it's kind really of cool. Weird that, like, now that I think about what my parents collect, my dad's very Redskins, like, Redskins, mm-hmm, let's do this. And so he has a lot of that. Oh, yeah, also vinyl albums. We don't have too many, but we do
I'm
have.
I'm starting my collection,
I have
yeah.
so many vinyls. I have, like, old comics.
Oh, yeah.
Number
I have
one
comics.
Edition.
Comics. You know who collects Seth Meyers from Saturday Night Live? He has his own talk show now, though. I was just thinking from Saturday Night Live. Yeah, he collects his own, too. Comic
he
books.
Collects his own comics?
Well, like, he actually wrote
he
one.
He makes them, he creates them.
I think he wrote one once, actually. But he collects comic books too, which is funny because I just didn't pin him down as the type.
Speaking of celebrities, I know Angelina Jolie has a dagger collection.
That's awesome. Scary.
That's really cool.
That's scary.
She seems ready. Like, yeah, she's gonna snap.
Ready to protect her children.
That's like our drama.
I'm sure we all have a few.
Oh my god.
I don't know about you, Dylan.
Do you want to tell the story of our drama teacher has multiple,
like,
knives,
swords
and knives.
He okay.
In the room?
No. Like, oh, no. He brought him for shows. Like, he's also the director. Okay, so I follow the TSA on Instagram because they're interesting. Like, did you know someone brought a bag of eels and, like, a whole bunch of other species tried to hoard them on a plane, but then they're...
That's so weird.
They were like, no, you can't bring these eels. they were like a little bag of eels.
What you got there?
Yeah.
Eels. But, yeah, one of the things you see often is people bringing key knives, like it looks like a key, but then it folds out to be a knife.
I actually have.
One day I borrowed his key set to open a door, and I was like, oh my god, that's what the TSA is going to take him down. And so I just thought that, and then I was like, you probably can't go through an airport with this.
My mom has like a can opener, and it's like a little mini like razor blade thing, and you have to like edge open it. It's for like survival. She's, but yeah.
It is strange though, the things that people accumulate, and the things that like become collections, or like someone's just interested in something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have almost all the seasons of Downton Abbey in my house, even though we have them all recorded on DVR because we all like my whole family likes the show, so we're all like, hey, let's get it, you know, oh, it's on disc, like, let's all go get it, you know. With any TV show, I have like a lot of seasons of them if I've ever been interested in them. Like, I have a lot of The West Wing.
Oh, yeah,
I have a lot of Gilmore Girls. That was my own. That's still my show. It's just odd to think that people like hoard things. Like, we were talking about this earlier, like, that people just collect stuff and just keep it and don't really do anything with it. But it's like satisfying at the same time.
Yeah, like one thing that I can understand that you keep are like pictures. Because like we have like albums and albums and albums and albums of like pictures we took from my childhood and all that. And sometimes I'm like, this is taking up a lot of room.
Why do we even have it?
Because like a lot of the time they got doubles. I'm like, why would you pay for doubles, guys?
Another thing that like I just think is really interesting, like we were talking about, is video logging, vlogging, and like people just talking about their day,
yeah,
or like their week or whatever, however often they do it.
They have millions of subscribers,
and they make a living off of it.
Yeah,
and then
they
there's
get paid.
Certain people like makeup gurus and stuff, and they literally make a living off of filming themselves saying, like, this is how you do this.
Or,
this is like, how you do foundation.
Yeah.
This is how you...
This one girl in Britain who is now becoming a huge success. Her name is Zoella.
Oh, yeah, I know her.
And she just wrote a book. She's, like, selling a lot of copies. Like, I think it's, like, the most since J.K. Rowling, one of her books.
Remember Jenna Marbles?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Jenna Marbles. She's now on the radio, so I'm like, ugh, I can't watch you anymore.
Dan Howell and Phil Lester, two YouTubers from Britain... And they got a job on a radio show because of their, like, they're, like, good friends and, like, because of their personalities.
You know that one guy on YouTube who just makes a living off of commenting on video games? Isn't he, like, the number one?
PewDiePie.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He probably makes so much money just from playing
video
games.
And when you think about it, it's just a very odd culture. It's a very new culture, though, that's, like, growing with this generation is... People literally filming themselves and talking about themselves. I think the thing is that
people
the most successful ones, are the ones who are the most relatable to other people. And they're usually, like, not, like, bad people either. Like, when people, like, come up to them and say hi, they're not, like, ew.
And they're,
no, like, they're, like, nice.
There's, I follow, like, most intently the Fine Brothers.
Yeah.
They do, like, the react things.
They
like the
TV
kids.
Yeah,
they do. The kids react, the teens react, the YouTubers react, and the elders react. And I just, like, they react to viral videos on the internet, and I think that's, like, it's super entertaining to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're long videos, too, and I watch them straight through. And,
I've watched, like, some of them, like, multiple
times.
Some
of them are so meaningful, because you see, like, reactions from kids about, like, extremely serious topics. It's like, whoa.
And it's nice to hear, like, that different perspective, I think.
I think one of the most famous ones they did was, like, the Cheerios commercial one, like, where the kids reacted to the Cheerios commercial, which was, like, in the Cheerios commercial, there was a...
Interracial couple,
and they had a mixed daughter. The content of the commercial was just, like, a cute little joke on the dad, but, like, the fact that so many people got enraged that there was a multi... Interracial couple. And these kids watched it, and they're like,
they
oh, that was just a Cheerios commercial.
They didn't even realize there was an issue until, like, the Fine Brothers brought it to their attention.
There just wasn't an issue. They were like, oh, she seems happy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Another brothers team that's, like, on YouTube is the Vlog Brothers, and they've...
John Green.
Yeah, John Green and Hank Green, and they really have become extremely successful. And it's also I think it's also because they're both really intelligent. Like,
yeah,
I know
John Green
I watched,
just wrote the
John Green wrote a bunch of books, and they're all being made into movies now, and everyone's going crazy over them. And then Hank Green is a scientist, and, like, I know, like, they both make, like, videos called, like, Crash Course, so you can watch them and, like, learn stuff. Like, I literally just passed my chemistry test because of it.
Yeah, that's
I watched Hank Green Crash Course chemistry videos again because they explain everything simply. So they're, like, they're kind of almost, like, the opposite of, like, vloggers in a way, even though they actually are, like, vlog brothers, because they always talk about things of, like, deep substance. Like, sometimes it'll, like, have to do with a small thing that's happening in their life, but they'll make it, like, about, you know, like, aging or about, like, the infinite universe, something like that. So they always have, like, a lot of, like, substance. So I think that's why they have, like, their following, because it's, like, it's always, like, you're always going to learn something when you watch one of their videos.
Like Vsauce.
Mm-hmm.
Or even, like, other YouTubers. They'll just, like, they just do stupid stuff, and it's, like, still funny.
Tyler Oakley.
Yeah, Tyler Oakley, like, not only because he's so relatable and so, like, such positive energy coming through a computer, he's a bundle of joy for anyone to watch, so, like, if you had a bad day, you just watch him, and he's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And same with, like, I'm sorry to bring up, like, those British ones that no one knows, like, here, I don't think. Well, I shouldn't say that. There are a lot of people who know him, but, like, not anyone I know. Like, Casper Lee.
Oh, I know him.
And
Casper.
Joe Sugg.
I went through a phase. Yep.
Yeah, and Joe Sugg. And then they're rooming together and all that. I think that's interesting that two YouTubers are rooming together.
They, like,
chaos.
Become friends on YouTube, too. And it's like, a very new and, like, very, very, like, interesting
and you see, like,
community.
You see, like, these conferences they go to where, like, there are thousands
giant
of fans, like, screaming towards them, and they're like, I will! Like, they're, like, One Direction on stage.
Yeah. Do you guys want to talk about, like, other, like, strange careers that you guys have heard of?
Or,
like,
air guitars?
So you have thousands of screaming fans. Yeah, like,
the air guitar competition
that, like, happens. I think it's in Finland. It's basically, like, these people do their best, like, air guitar impression, and whoever is the best one, like, wins. And they win, like,
endorsements.
Are
these in real chords and everything? like
most likely.
I guess yeah, because actually I was like reading about it and they were saying like it has to look real. So I guess
be a pro air guitar.
So like literally, like, I remember I was reading it and like literally like they were saying like tens of thousands of people came to this to see people do this to air guitar solo, and then like the person who like won number one like got an endorsement with some soda company, like they they got money, like they got a job. Yeah. So it's just very funny.
There are thousands of actors who can't even do pantomime completely accurately. Yeah. Like, cause like, let's say they're brushing their dog's hair or something.
Yeah.
The dog will get bigger or smaller depending, yeah. And then like maybe the dog will move over an inch.
Yeah, cause like imagining like a physical space in your mind must be like hard. So they probably like have to do it really well. But it's funny to think like people like practice and like to work really hard at it. It's funny. Yeah, I'm about to air guitar.
People reenacting stuff. It's crazy.
So like Civil War reenactment?
I went to this, but they have a Civil War reenactment every year. It's like the tiniest town I've ever seen in my entire life. Mm. But all these people go just for the Civil War reenactment every year.
Yeah, there's one in Boston. It's pretty huge.
Gettysburg is
huge.
Because it was a huge battle. And it's very, you know, it's really, like, on. I went to the town of Gettysburg, actually. That's, like, that's all they
live.
They live off of, yeah, they like, do. Ghost yeah. tours, and they, like, pretend that they're still in the Civil War. And then they have, like, soldiers walking around, and they, but also it's, like, the town's economy is simply based off of, like, tourists coming and living off that period.
I went in there, and I was like, what? There's still bullet holes here.
Yeah, and they sold old bullets.
I got one.
Were shot.
There was a teacher, I think you had her too, who said like, oh yeah, you could always tell whose bullets were whose because like the Union ones had three little stripes on them and the Confederate ones had two stripes because the Union could afford more stripes. And I was like,
it was just me. But that's just like a really interesting hobby because it's like you have to like take all of this time and rehearse and get the outfit, which like costs money, mm-hmm. and like you have to like get up early and go out there. And another that has to do with like sticking to an old time period is carolers, and or like sometimes like those like real genuine carolers that you see in older like costumes. And it was actually really funny because over break I had the flu, so I was lying down. And my family all went to my grandparents' house. And I was home alone, and someone rang the doorbell, and I was like, I'm probably not going to answer it because I'm home alone. And then all of a sudden I realized I heard singing, and my light was on.
I don't know if I'd be scared.
So they saw me, like, lying there. So they just, like, came to the window that I was at, and they all, like, circled it and started singing at me. And I was like,
that's terrifying.
I was like, no,
all, like, staring at you.
It was so bad.
I was supposed to go caroling with a music honor society that I'm part of, and I didn't end up going because I had other plans that I had to go to.
Yeah.
But they would go to people's doors and they would just slam them in their faces. Like 75% of the people didn't want to listen to them sing.
Yeah, I think it's like a really nice thing, but I was also like, I was home.
I'd rather not.
I would enjoy it so much if someone came and
sang. I just gave him a thumbs up. I had a fever. I wasn't like about to get up and open the door. I was like, no. And I was kind of scared because I didn't know who it was at first. And I was like what
am I imagining this?
Yeah. It was like 9 at night. So I was like, who could this be?
Mom,
and then it was just like a family of carolers, thank goodness.
It's weird that they went to your door, though. That's a little.
And then stayed at the window. Is this real?
Yeah, I was.
Maybe you're just going crazy.
No, I asked my neighbors.
Not only did they look in your window, but they stayed there.
They stayed there and sang like two songs, and then it was like,
is that legal?
And just left.
Oh, I don't stand in your window. Have you guys ever heard of LARPers? Like LARPing?
Yeah. No.
Live action role playing. It's like, it's live action role playing. It's hard to describe. Like, let's say, I feel like it could be set in any time, but let's say like medieval ages or like Renaissance. Mm-hmm. And,
I've only seen it in that time period.
Yeah. And, like, there can be someone who's the princess and their whole royal family.
Where
and
do people, like, do that?
Parks.
I've seen, like, their parks is in the woods. They're, like, the Renaissance fairs.
It's best when you do it with superpowers, though, because you have to, like, pretend like you actually have superpowers.
Oh, God.
I've seen a lot of videos of that. And then no one ever wants to die. They're like, no, you didn't actually hit me.
No.
That doesn't count.
I had a spell
I'm still
on.
In. I think it sounds fun.
And it's
I could imagine like an Avatar Last Airbender LARPing. I'd be so into it.
I would be so into.
Water Tribe.
I kind of did that when I was younger. I just didn't know what it was. I just played pretend games. But I guess now it's just, now that we're grown up, it's called LARPing.
I miss it.
I just enjoy dressing up as other characters. I remember when the Last Airbender movie came out.
Before everyone
realized it was terrible. Yeah. The first time I went, me and my friends all dressed up, and I was Katara, and it was great.
Cosplayed?
Yes.
That's another hobby.
Oh, yeah, I go to Comic-Con. That's so fun. I dress up.
Do you
want
to explain it to like our
cosplayers?
Let's see. I go to New York Comic-Con every year. And I dress up as Daenerys Stormborn of House Targaryen, and she has a bunch of other titles after that. She's from Game of Thrones. And it is so cool. Like, people ask, like, what do you do when you get there? Like, it's mainly just purchasing stuff because it's so cool. There are so many stands of people who make, like, either art or, like, sell autographed pictures or...
You meet people there, too.
Yeah, you can meet there are celebrities there, like if you watch Breaking Bad, the person who played Gus Fring came in last year to take photos with everyone. Wow. George Clooney went there last year. And I was like, woo-ha-ha, what are you doing here, George Clooney? Cause, like, usually it's not like A-list actors that go there, but
yeah, it's like pretty famous people.
Yeah. And then the real big one is San Diego Comic-Con, cuz that's where the original celebrities go to. But that's not even all of the, like, it's also really cool to just walk around and see someone put so much effort into their costume.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that takes a lot of time,
too. There's Dr. Octopus from, like, Spider-Man who actually has his real arms. I was like, ooh! I had my friend sew this for me, but dang.
I want to do that. It's just so expensive to get all this stuff. I was looking for a costume so I could cosplay, and it was like, $230 for a really good one.
Oh, yeah. I was looking for a decked out Elsa one because I already have the really, really blonde wig for Daenerys. So I was like, I could probably do another character. So I tried Elsa, but Elsa's costumes they get pricey.
Yeah, well, Elsa is such a big fan base, yeah.
Yeah, and then I was, like, even thinking, like, oh, my God, if I could be Elsa, I would want to be, like, that happy person who doesn't charge for photos in Times Square. So I'd make all these kids happy by meeting Elsa, and I don't have to charge them $15. Because there are those people. There are those people in Times Square who, like, dress up as, like, these creepy costumes.
That's a strange hobby, or that's a strange career as well. Or, like, I guess it's a hobby.
I wouldn't trust any of those.
They're like, $15, please. I'm like, no, I'm going to take a selfie with you and run.
Like, and that's also a job at, Disneyland.
Yeah.
And that's actually something a lot of young actors do, is they go down to Disneyland and they dress up as, you know, those Disney characters.
Aladdin.
And they
actually,
like, Prince Charming.
If you dress up as a Disney princess and, like, there was some girl that was on the news because she looked exactly like Elsa, like, her face and stuff. Wow. She got kicked out of Disney World and, like,
you need to have a job.
You need to have a job, but, like, I meant, like, you just, like, go down, like, you can get hired
really
for
hard
it.
To
and
get
it's just,
in there.
And, like, there's, like, certain height requirements and, like, funny stuff.
You can't be over 5'7", so I can never be a princess.
Yeah, and your nails can't be, like, longer pretty much than mine are right now. Actually, no, I think mine are a little bit too long.
Yeah, it's kind of, and it's also weird that there's so many requirements.
You also have to take etiquette classes and history classes on where your princess is from.
Yeah. Because, like, people, because, like, little kids are so curious.
Because it has to be real.
And I watched the the cutest video one time of, like, this little girl and, you know, like, Gaston from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, he's, like, the enemy, even though he's, like, handsome. And he was, like, this really, like, young 20-something guy. And he was, like, you know, very attractive. But, like, she was, like, a 4-year-old girl. And she was like, you're not going to win in the end. And then he was, like, oh, yes, I am. And, like, he was, like, yes, how do you know? And he was, like, trying to be, like, nice, but, like, teasing her. And all the adults were dying laughing. And she's, like, because the Beast will win. Because Belle loves him and not you. And she kept saying stuff. And, like, all
you're mean.
Yeah. It was so funny. He, like, didn't know what to do, and he, like afterwards,
little
he saw
kids.
He saw someone filming him, and he was like, "I just got completely owned by a 4-year-old." it's very odd that our, like, culture, like, thinks that's, like, normal. Like, oh, I'm just gonna go to Disneyland and take a picture with someone who's not a real character.
I've never been there, mainly because though here it's just, like, the art of waiting in lines. I can't do that. I'm from New York, and I really can't do that. Like, the impatience that New York has over other states is really crazy.
Do we want to bring up quotes, you guys, of any of the that has to do with hobbies or passing time?
The most daring thing is to be yourself and to do exactly what you want to do at that point in time, and not to be worried with what other people are doing or what's popular. That was Wiz Khalifa.
Word.
I didn't think Wiz Khalifa was so... eloquent. Brianna, do you want
to
go?
Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "To be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment."
Oh, yeah. That's cool, though. That's a really cool quote. Because Ralph Waldo Emerson was a transcendentalist writer. And they were, like, really about, like, self-expression and doing what you want. That's cool.
Wow.
So, Dylan, quote?
"Making money is a hobby that will complement any other hobbies you have very beautifully," said by Scott Alexander.
That's really funny.
And I chose it because, well, like we mentioned, hobbies, like dressing up, is also can get pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm. So mine's from Harry Connick Jr., and he said, "Everything I do is part of my passion. I do the things I like to do. It's sort of a bigger version of having more than one hobby." I just like that because he was, like, basically saying that your passions are your hobbies. And, like, that's kind of what we were talking about. Like, it's what you want to do with your time, like, not what you have to do to survive.
You know, so people, like, will wonder, like, why do we collect these things? Like, because, yeah, I don't know, it just makes us feel good. Like, oh, wow. I just have a bunch of those little jokers on my nightstand.
Yeah, it's just things that make you happy. So that wraps up our show for this week. Be sure to join us next time. Thanks to all our listeners. I'm Susie with co-hosts Sydney, Dylan, and Brianna. Background production for the show was done by Kathleen Reed.
You've been listening to Teen Talk. Be sure to tune in again next week. For show announcements and other information, find Teen Talk CNY on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening and have a great week. Teen Talk is a production of Contact Community Services and is made possible by a grant from the Offices of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services.